May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Because we're looking at some things in chapter 13 doesn't mean that we're necessarily through with some things in chapter 12. But there was this, the leaning of the Holy Spirit into this particular chapter. And really, just let me read these verses to you again, just the first few verses. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end, or loved them to the uttermost. So that idea can mean he never stopped loving them, regardless of what they did or didn't do, or he just loved them as much as you can be loved. And in some ways, that means the same thing. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God, was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, taking a towel and girded himself about. And then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Couple of simple things for this, for today's short little homily. This is one of my favorite places in Scripture because it's so practical. So remember that Jesus is doing what he's doing incarnationally as the Son of Man. John's the gospel more than anywhere else. I forget how many times. I think it's like chapter 5, verse 19, verse 29, chapter 8, verse 28, chapter 12, verse 49, chapter 14, verse 10, he reiterates again and again that he did nothing on his own initiative, that he only did those things he saw the Father doing, only said those things he heard the Father saying. And so as God, he could do anything he wants to out of his own initiative, but he didn't. He emptied himself, Philippians 2, and lived as a Spirit-filled man. Though he was never anything less than God, he lived as a Spirit-filled man in this incarnation. Because he wasn't just here to die for us, he was here to show us how Spirit-filled man is intended to live. So the incarnational Christ is at least a prototype of the new creation. Now that's such an encouragement to me, because then when I read the Gospels and I see the things that Jesus did, I don't just step back and go, well, of course, that's Jesus. He can do that. Jesus did those things as the Son of Man, as the second Adam. It's what the church has always believed. And therefore, he wasn't just telling the truth about God by the life he lived. We've said this before. He was telling the truth about man. Because the truth about man is we were created to tell the truth about God. We were created to be image bearers. And so when I see the life of Christ played out, it blesses me. It like raises the bar of what this upward call of God, this prize that I'm going after. Because it's that same Christ who's now joined himself to my life, who's grafted me into his life. And therefore, he's not just an example for us, he's an example of us. So in this chapter, there's nothing outwardly miraculous happening. I mean, Jesus, he undresses down to his loincloth, he takes a towel and a basin, and he gets on his hands and knees and washes the feet of these guys. Now, one of the things it says, this is what makes Scripture so amazing. He said, having loved his own who were in the world. These were men who were in the world, and they were part of this fallen world. As we know that every one of them at the cross deserted him. One came back, John, but they all abandoned him. Judas totally betrayed him, and yet he washed all these people's feet. He loved them, including Judas, to the uttermost. He loved them to the end, these ones who are in the world. You know, it's easy to love people who do right. Do you know what I'm saying? You ever thought like that? Livy used to say, I wish people would just act right. And I've recently told the Lord, I said, Lord, about something. I said, Lord, if this person would just be in a good place, if I could keep this person in a good place, then it would be so much easier for me to be in a good place. And Jesus said, well, your being in a good place has got nothing to do with them being in a good place. It has only to do with the fact that I, Jesus, am always in a good place. I thought, wow, that's true. And so we don't get to pick and choose who we love, and we don't get to pick and choose how far we'll go in that love. We're in union with the Christ who shows us in a very practical way, in nitty-gritty daily living, Jesus washed their feet. I mean, in the day they lived, they wore sandals, so this was like the dirtiest part, and yet he's washing their feet. Now, we know there's an analogy here about the forgiveness issue, that you've had your bath, Jesus says, but you're going to need your feet washed, and therefore you need to wash each other's feet. And so we need to be able to come to him again and again and experience our own feet being cleansed, not getting re-saved or rebirthed, but just being cleansed. But also we're to cleanse each other's feet. We're to forgive one another. But just the act of Jesus loving them, if you don't think about the forgiveness part, what he's modeling, but just loving them in such a way, the kind of transparency, the lack of insecurity, the humility that love required for Jesus to strip down to his loincloth and get on his hands and knees and wash the feet of these disciples who were very imperfect. You see, Christianity, especially charismatics, thinks that Christianity is a life of doing extravagant acts like signs and wonders. That's certainly a part of it. Love carries that too. I mean, people need to be touched and healed, delivered, all those things. But an extraordinary life is not a life that necessarily does extravagant things, but it's a life that does ordinary things with extravagant love. Now, the thing I like about this chapter that's so powerful to me, that sets the stage, and sometimes people just brush over this, but it's the most important thing. Verse 3, Jesus, after mentioning that the enemy already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. Wow. In the context of knowing that, he washed their feet. Now, this is, again, an incarnational word. Jesus, it says in John 14:10, it was a Father in him doing the works, because Jesus was modeling what a Spirit-filled man looks like. And so to do something as simple as washing feet, it was important that the Holy Spirit says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, did that. Now, what's the point? Like, we kind of know we have to draw from the resources of God, the Christ who lives in us, if we're going to, you know, pray for the sick, or we're going to give words of knowledge or speak prophetic words or whatever. But this is imperative that we understand that living from Christ isn't about just that, and primarily isn't about that, because most of our life is lived washing other people's feet, whether it's your children or your husband or your wife or the people that you work with. It's just doing ordinary things, but doing those ordinary things in an extraordinary way. There's a place in Philippians chapter 2 that says, let each one of us regard one another as more important than ourselves. It says, do nothing from selfishness and empty self-glory. Wow, that's ridiculous. Do nothing from selfishness and empty self-glory, but with humility of mind, let each of us regard one another as more important than themselves, not for your own interest, but for the interest of others. That's pretty supernatural. But that's usually lived out in just daily stuff, right? Like stopping and giving your children attention. A good example would be, this morning Sam came by, their dryer's not working, everything's not hooked up in their new house yet. Came to dry some clothes, but also to change the bandage on my wound, because it's hard to do it backwards. And when I change the bandage, it looks like patchwork, because there's tape going in every direction. And so, but she brought Joe with her. And so Joe's fascinated with all the little stuff that's on the table that keeps everything sanitary and all that kind of things. And he wants one of the gloves. And so he came in the kitchen and wanted me to just help him get his glove on. But he got the glove wet, so it makes it even more difficult. But that was like, was I going to be frustrated or impatient? If I'm trying to live for Christ, See, if Christianity is, I'm doing the best I can to live for Christ and I'm asking him to help me, then I'm going, oh Lord, help me not be anxious. Help me not be impatient. Or if I'm living from Christ, if I know what I have, Jesus knew the Father had given all things in his hands. And Jesus said that everything the Father has, I have, because Christ is in me. I'm complete in him. Therefore, I'm remembering that in union with Christ, I'm going to not be impatient with my grandson. And we're going to work on that glove that's 15 times too big. Now it's wet and he can't get his fingers in there. And he gets frustrated easy about stuff like that. But you see, I was drawing from all the resources that are mine in Christ to do something very simple. So that I wouldn't do that with impatience and frustration and be in a hurry and give it the attention that my little grandson, my little three-year-old, who's more important than me, who's the most important human that I know standing in front of me. That's practical, supernatural Christianity. That's where we live. It's in what we do and our conversations with each other. Listen, you may come across super anointed and super spiritual, but when you walk, you get out of your car or you walk into your house and the drawbridge to the castle comes up, what's it like on the inside? What's your practical Christianity like? If you know what's yours in Christ, then you're as intentional about abiding in him and drawing from his supernatural resources to do that stuff in a Christ-like way as you would be if you were ministering to thousands of people. If Christianity doesn't work in the nitty-gritty blood and guts of everyday living, then what is it? You with me? That's why I love this chapter so much, because it was important to the Holy Spirit before Jesus got down on his hands and knees and washed their feet and dressed only in his loincloth to say, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, then does this. Like, that's a big statement. Man, he's about to raise the dead. He's about to heal some blind person. He's about to cause some cripple to walk. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he's going to do something stunning. Yes, he did. It took the supernatural activity of God in him as the Son of Man to do the simple thing like washing someone's feet. Now, that's washing feet's this metaphor, just doing the nitty-gritty stuff of interacting, feeding the dog, doing the stuff in a Christ-like way. It's supernatural. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.